Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. Spent a good portion of the first hour talking Astros, as we should, with the best team in Houston. Losing 2 out of 3 to the best team in baseball, the Giants, but not by much, and not in a fashion that you should be overly concerned. But one of the concerns was that we also mentioned Alex Bregman leaving his start with the Sugar Land Skeeters because of hamstring tightness. That was something that everybody was concerned with, because this is a time, as we mentioned, we need all hands on deck and the best bats in the lineup and tuning up for the playoff run. Well, some good news from Mark Berman, as Patrick mentioned heading into the break that closed out the first hour of the show. The lineup is in for the Skeeters tonight, and it's very good news if you're an Astros fan, because the lineup includes Alex Bregman at third base, and Alex Bregman is not only in the lineup, he's leading off.
This is really interesting to me, because clearly Bregman would never bat in the leadoff spot in a normal situation.
Right.
So two schools of thought here. One is what we hope is the school of thought is, hey, we're trying to get Bregs as many at-bats as he can. We want to try to get him some good pitches. I mean, like, so far, he's 0 for 13 on his rehab start. So he hasn't found the bat yet. And, you know, when you're out for a while, sometimes it takes 30 at-bats or so. That was why that was a number that he threw out there, a very specific number of, you know, trying to get your timing back. So Bregman could be looking at, hey, we just want to try to get you that extra at bat every game. Then there's this point of view, which I hope is not the case, because this would be almost the worst case scenario.
Here's your public service announcement that the black cloud of Patrick Crayton is now about to rain on your parade.
You remember when Mark McGwire, later in his career with the Cardinals, was dealing with really bad leg injuries, and he couldn't play the field and he couldn't run? He's under contract, and the Cardinals needed his bat. So Tony La Russa would bat him in the leadoff spot and then take him out of the game right away once he got to first base. Are they batting Bregman leadoff to get him in at bat, and then, okay, as soon as he gets to first base, we're taking him out? If he's got a hammy and it was enough for him to leave a game, is it, all right, well, you know what, he can, you know, coast it down to first base. If he has a solid base hit, we need to help him get his timing set. I don't know. I hope it's just they want to get him more at-bats. But to me, the back of my head, there's that possibility he's going to get one at-bat and be out of there.
Thank God it's just the back of your head, because I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking that you only have a few more games where you're going to have him a chance to get at-bats. You might as well get him as many as possible, because I am under the school of thought that you are, that he hasn't hit since he's been back. So now I need to up it by getting him higher in the lineup so he gets that extra at-bat every night. So by the time that this team comes off this road trip, gets back from L.A., and starts playing a good portion of the easy, soft part of their schedule, they have their best lineup in tow, and that would include one Alex Bregman. That's my back of my head, front of my head. That's the front of
That's
my head.
That's the front of the head. We've got to get him more at-bats.
Yes.
Back of the head is always, man, please don't blow out that hammy, because they need him. They need him.
Boy, if we come back tomorrow and any of what you said is true, you are getting it, and you deserve it, because you are the jinx black cloud if that happens. I cringe just when you said that even during the break, and I was like, well, you can say it. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I hope that's not the case.
Because, hope it's not the case.
Yeah, they've got to get over it. And every team deals with injuries. And we mentioned the fact that Kershaw's been on the IL for quite a while. Mookie Betts just got off the IL for the Dodgers. We know the Yankees have had a boatload of injuries. Wham, we don't care. But at the same time, the Astros seem to have gotten timely injuries in the fact that, one, either they came at a time where other guys that you put in the lineup for them got hot, or the rest of the lineup was hitting so well, you didn't notice as much as you could have. And now you're getting to the point where you're, you know, less than 2 months left to go in the season, and you got to turn it up a notch. And as you mentioned, take advantage of the schedule. Continue to – the A's loaded up. They did something that they never do, and they went for it at the deadline, making a slew of moves, regardless of the amount of money spent and the amount of young players given up, because they know that they're in a completely uphill battle to catch the Astros. The Astros have bigger fish to fry. They're watching the White Sox. They're watching the Red Sox. Now they got to watch the Rays. But you know what? They're all watching. They're watching all of those teams from the top of the mountain in the American League. They don't want that to change. So that's why it's so hyper important that they don't suffer any more major injuries. Because getting Diaz back is huge to me, and you know this. I'm a huge fan of his stick and the fact that he hits for average, he hits for power, and the fact that when you talk about where you can put him in the lineup, he is a Swiss Army knife. You can put him just about anywhere, and we don't need the guy they got from the A's today, as long as he stays healthy too. Health is so hyper important to me with this team. I don't care about anything else in any other team as long as this team is healthy. Starting pitching has me a little bit on edge in the back of my head. But other than that, everything else is front of my head, feeling safe and sound with this Astros team, and I'll roll with them.
There's no reason we talked about this earlier. There's no reason I think the Astros aren't going to win the division.
Right.
There's no reason I think they're not going to get to the postseason. I'm not concerned about that. All my concerns are, how do we get to the World Series? That's it. How do we get to the World Series? They need Alex Bregman if they want to go to the World Series.
I agree.
And also, for those of you who are looking for something to do tonight, you can go see Alex Bregman and the Skeeters out at Constellation Field in Sugar Land. Tonight is $5 margarita night. Mm. And if you are military or a first responder, you got discounted tickets because it's My Hero Monday. So, all military, first responders, you get discounted tickets, and then you go get yourself some $5 margaritas, go see Alex Bregman and the Skeeters take on the El Paso Chihuahuas.
I have heard from the time that they made the switch, it used to be that you could show up on it. You know, I live out there, so I would just take the kids and show up, and even when Lisa was pregnant, we'd go for as long as she could stand it before she got uncomfortable, and we'd leave. But it was awesome because the tickets were, you could just get them, walk up to the press. Now I've heard, because a lot of the Astros rehab guys never are getting, that it is like, it's tougher to get tickets.
Yeah, I think even I saw it on on Twitter, maybe last week or the week before, whenever, I guess when Bregman's first start, it was like, show up early, make sure you have your tickets, like, be prepared for big crowds.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, which is, it's an awesome park, and it's just a great baseball environment. Yeah, and I love the gear. Now, by the way, there is a rumor out there they're going to change. I had thrown this out there, and someone backed it up, which I didn't want them to do. I Patrick Creightoned by saying that when are they going to change the theme from Skeeters to a more space Astros themed? And I thought, but they won't. And then a few people hit me up and said, actually, it's in the works. They're talking about it now.
It is in the works, and it has been for a while. As let's say that. They are very aware that Skeeters rhymes with cheaters.
Oh, didn't even see that angle.
The Skeeters name is going is likely to be changed. There was talk about doing it this year because they wound up taking control of the team, but 2 weeks before the season started. It was a lot later than they thought. So that's probably in the work for next year. There'll probably be more stadium improvements in the works for next year. They did a lot of stuff, a whole new playing surface, yeah. New dugouts, new workout rooms, all the baseball-related stuff. Look,
you've seen the AT&T Astros magazine show. They play that commercial
every
all the time.
Game, yeah.
They showed all the improvements, like you said, behind the scenes. But that park was already fantastic, top-notch.
Next year, you will probably see increase some seating and some more things that the fans will be able to see more of for next year as they raise the capacity of the park for, you know, more AAA standard.
Well, a buddy of mine,
it's a great park.
It really is. And a buddy of mine, Todd Kruger, and his wife, Amy, they love taking their kids. And the thing that they really love about when they go and the Astros guys are rehabbing there is it's not like they're uptight or really, you know, have to focus on preparing. So they said the other night Bregman spent like 15 minutes signing all the kids' autographs and interacting. Todd's son said he was walking down the concourse and Urquidy, before he got hurt, was there to watch some of the other pitchers that were rehabbing throw. And he got to talk to him and take a picture with him. And it's like the fact that you now have either major league or close to major league talent on a nightly basis, including a lot of Astros guys going back and forth, it makes it even that much more enticing to want to go to a Skeeters game. So it's a great venue. I'm glad that they did what they did, and I'm glad they're associated with the Astros too. So that's always good. We've got lots more to get to. We've got to get to some NBA at some point because Kelly Eco is going to be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about the draft that was for your Houston Rockets, the four 19-year-olds that joined the Houston club. And then also with free agency tomorrow and the ability to discuss sign and trades and start negotiating free agents tonight, who's going where and why? Those are the kind of things we can consider as we continue to roll on with the program. This is the Press Box. It's ESPN.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick's out. Patrick Creighton back in again today, along with my good friend Tyler Scott, who's now getting nutrition as well as caffeine in his day as we continue to roll on. We appreciate his efforts as well as we have good dialogue on this program, talking about the local sports at a premium tonight, today, with all the stories we had over the weekend and still some to get to with the Rockets. Before that, news of the day, otherwise nationally, Carson Wentz is going to have foot surgery. He's going to be out between, and this is a weird window, 5 to 12 weeks. On the downside, 12 weeks, but if all goes well with rehab and other considerations, he could be in back as soon as 5 weeks. Not that the Texans were looking at a division crown, but that's one less team you'd have to really deal with in the short term. But the other thing is the Philadelphia Eagles are probably a little bit pleased about that too, because if he played, what, 70% of the snaps or 75% of the snaps, you got to give a first-round pick. If he doesn't, it's only a second-round pick. Therefore, they're feeling okay.
Yeah, people in Philadelphia who are not exactly kind to other teams to begin with
are
laughing their asses off today because Carson Wentz is hurt. And they said this is a the culmination of what appeared to be an old injury that maybe he suffered as far back as high school with a bone that dislocated and popped up in his foot.
Yeah, they're removing a bone.
Yeah, they're removing the bone rather than trying to fix it or bolt it in or whatnot. On one hand, you could say, man, Carson Wentz can't catch a break because the dude just keeps getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, well, what if he tried to play through it and he just wasn't all that mobile? He'd get murdered. Him being mobile is what makes him who he is. If he has to stand there like a statue and try to read defenses, that's not his strength.
No, I would say this. I would say that in his MVP year, or should have been MVP year till he got hurt, he was pretty damn good standing in the pocket. But I would also say that in Indianapolis, he has the benefit of a pretty good offensive line. But you're right. Part of what made him so elusive and effective was the fact that he could run the football as well. It's also what did him in, because that's what got going for it on the goal line is what got cost him that knee.
And sometimes it's not even so much, hey, can I get outside the pocket and run and sprint? It's your ability to be elusive within the pocket.
And a lot of times,
that's a quick step here, a quick jab step and a spin move there. And if you've got a busted bone in your foot, well, you can't do those things. And then you can't escape guys who, you know, grab you by the shoulder and you try to duck it or spin out. You can't do those things because you can't spin off that foot. So the timeline, like you said, really 5 to 12 weeks. You're talking about 2 to 4 months. I mean, he could be out for the first half of the season. And, if the Colts don't manage to get to the postseason, Philly's like, hey, we'll take that. That's not a first-round pick that we have to give up. So it would work out well for the Eagles.
No, and let me be clear. So the deal as it was structured with the Eagles would wind up a second round pick that the Eagles would. Wentz must play 75% of the snaps or 70% and Indy makes the playoffs for it to be a first round pick conveyed to the Eagles from the Colts.
Yeah, I inverted that somehow. Yeah. That works out for the Colts, not
right,
the Eagles.
Right, right. So therefore, because he's almost undoubtedly not going to get to the 70-75% mark, then it's a second round pick the Eagles get. But I think the more important thing is they got that nasty contract off their hands. And they don't have to worry about, as you said, him being injury prone going forward. So that, you know, the egg on the face is still firmly on the Colts.
Side effect, not getting that first round pick if he misses half the season means they don't have three first rounders to give the Texans for Deshaun
exactly.
Watson. They only have
two. Because that was the big story in terms of teams that could still pull off a trade for Watson. They have two of their own, and conceivably they would get an add a third. Now, not so fast.
How would you feel about two firsts, 2 seconds?
At this point, I'd be okay. Because at this point, based on how long this thing is going to take to play out, I think that that's best case scenario for the Texans. Because I think the longer they wait, the more that something could go wrong in terms of the court cases. And then you might really see what was at one point your head and shoulders best and most valuable asset slip way down the totem pole in terms of what you can get in return.
Right. This is the difference between thought process 3 months ago, even up to maybe a couple of weeks ago, to now, is that, hey, you know what? With Deshaun, you just got to play the long game. You got to sit on them. You wait for the league to make their ruling. And then after he's served his suspension and he's clear to play, you get a bigger return on him. You know what the picks are going to be at the end of the season. And all of that is great in theory. But here's the reality of it. The league is not taking a position yet.
Which is ridiculous.
And because they're not taking a position yet, we don't know if the league is going to put him on the exempt list right away or not. Clearly, both parties have moved on as, you know, when Deshaun's not doing individual drills, maybe he's lining up at safety on the scout team, standing there with his hands behind his back and not actually moving at all. If you can, even though you don't know what the picks are going to be, if we're able to get 2 firsts, 2 seconds here, he's your problem.
Right.
I might take that right now.
But what general manager in the league's taking that leap of faith?
And that's the issue that they have.
Now, you said if he had his hands behind his back, while they were back there, they could have been doing some dirty work because evidently today, not playing safety for the scout team, Patrick, he spent some time over on the training table and they were examining his foot as he was pointing to it. And that also makes you a little bit concerned that, hey, one, we've been saying all along, he shouldn't be out there. But if he is, and you're just deciphering what we just did in terms of the possibilities, the what-ifs, and could they move him, if he's hurt and he's now damaged, boy, everything's out the window even more.
And that would be the colossal fail on the Texans, right? If Deshaun suffers
some
kind of non-contact injury that would essentially wipe out his season, you know, suspended or not. You know, how many times have we seen guys tear a knee or pop an Achilles or something like that? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's hideous knee injury was non-contact.
Right.
You know, right here, we had the offensive tackle who suffered the double torn patellas, non-contact.
Oh, yep. A couple years ago. Yep.
There, you can get injured just. You know, hey, took a wrong step. There was a spot here on the field. There was a divot or there was a bump or something. And, yeah,
you shouldn't be out there.
If I were the Texans, I would tell him, go home.
You know it's a financial decision, too. You know that they don't want to pay him for nothing. And the thing is I keep harping on this, but when you look at the Trevor Bauer situation, and baseball and Rob Manfred should never, ever, ever, especially if you're an Astros fan, but anybody across baseball, going from Bud Selig to Rob Manfred, you thought it was a step up, but so far it hasn't been. No one should ever look at baseball and go, well, more leagues should follow their lead in terms of how to handle situations. But at least for one specific situation, they got it right. Trevor Bauer, the minute that all of his stuff surfaced, before it got any too far down the road, especially when the damn Dodgers were going to go, well, he's still going to pitch this weekend, Major League Baseball stepped in and said, no. Not only is he not, but until this is all resolved, he's going to be on quote-unquote leave until it's all figured out. Smartest move the league could have made, only in that case.
Well, weird thing about that is originally the Dodgers were going to scratch him, and the league told them, no, you have to keep him on the schedule. And you know, Dodge manager, Dave Martinez.
Dave Roberts.
So Dave Roberts says, well, the league said we have to keep him on. And everybody's scratching their head like, since when does the league tell you who to pitch and when? The league would not let them scratch him. And
why?
And then 2 days later, they put him on the
list. Well, because, you know, Dave Stewart was coming back for part of that alumni celebration for Tommy Lasorda. And the minute he heard that the Dodgers weren't going to be proactive and scratch Bauer and send him home and keep him away, he's like, I can't participate. The O'Malley's, when they did own the team, would have never done this. The fact that this is the new wave of the Dodgers, I don't agree with it. I can't participate. And so they had plenty of bad looks going, and they didn't try and deflect on anybody else because they came out from the very get-go and said, he's going to pitch.
Well, they didn't have a choice. And then Major League Baseball, after telling them, you have to pitch him, you have to have him on the lineup, you can't scratch him, you can't put in a substitute, you have to leave him in there as scheduled. Then afterwards, it was like not quite 48 hours later, baseball then put him on the suspended list, and it was the dumbest thing ever. Like, why would you just put him on the list to start with instead of having the whole stupid go back and forth.
Right. And so now you actually dispel the one time that I was going to give Manfred and baseball a little bit of credit.
Yeah, no, they don't deserve credit.
Which makes me happy because I think they're both, I mean, I think they're all babbling buffoons over there. But when you look at that, then you say, but at least from somebody's perspective, they got it right. And until all the cases and all the evidence and all the information is gathered and there's some signs of resolution, I said from the minute it happened, Trevor Bauer's not pitching the rest of the year because there's no way that all of this is going to be compiled. And if it is, based on what we've seen and read already, it doesn't look like it's favorable for him in his camp to try and come back. And now you hear from the Dodgers' perspective, most of the players in that locker room are saying, we don't want him back. We don't want him back ever again. And when they make a move to get a Scherzer, I think the message is clearly sent that from a Dodgers' perspective now, too, they're not expecting, whether they want him back or not, they're not expecting him to be back the rest of the year.
No, they don't want him back. And I don't blame them.
I don't either.
We don't even know if he's guilty or innocent yet. Like, we don't know. There are people who are into really wild, crazy, rough, stupid type stuff. And Bauer is a guy who has been really crude and disgusting to women on social media, who has bragged about his conquests
underage
on social
women.
Media. Yeah, no, there's no boundary with him. No filter.
Right.
And this was part of the issue with the Dodgers signing him to begin with, was, you know, they talked to teammates, they talked to former coaches, and supposedly, according to the Dodgers, supposedly they vouched for him. He's a good teammate. You know, between the lines, he's a great dude. In the locker room, he's a good dude. On social media, he's a jackass. But this is now the backflow of, hey, the guy who's been a jackass to the public his whole career, well, did this just super bite him? Because whether he's guilty or whether he's being extorted, you brought this on yourself. And as we saw with the Ezekiel Elliott situation, who you choose to get involved with when you are young and rich and noticeable, once you get yourself involved with somebody who's a 14 crazy, they can mess up your career. Well, Zeke's career got messed up. He lost a ton of endorsements for something that law enforcement and the NFL both said he didn't do.
Right.
I don't know if Trevor Bauer did something this woman didn't want him to do or not. What I know is that as far as endorsements are going, he's not getting any. And we're going to find out. The Dodgers are trying to figure out how they can get out of this contract.
Right, and they're hoping that there's a way, based on the legalities that he's involved in with the charges being brought up against him, that could be their out to get out from under that deal, which is a horrible deal. They're just lucky it wasn't for a longer term than what it was. Now, you say that, too, when you're talking about guys that are young, that are at a certain age, that should act a certain way, but they're almost like they're invincible. When we come back, we're going to get to that as it relates again to Deshaun Watson, because just like in the Trevor Bauer case, it seemed like Deshaun Watson has basically said he's invincible. He can do whatever he wants. And what he wants is a little bit out of the ordinary. I know that doesn't seem to be shocking to many Texans fans, but now at least one of the masseuses is out there talking about it and doing interviews about it. So we're going to have that for you as we open up the second half of the show. Stay tuned for that as we continue to roll on. 90 in the books and 90 still to go. Before we hit that break, I want to tell you about the good people at New Brakes, because if your brakes aren't working or they're squeaking or they're barking at you and you just need to get them fixed, but you don't really want to waste the time and go to a brake shop, sit in that nasty waiting room, deal with all the being at the mercy of a place that may get to it in an hour, may get to it in 2 hours, and in the meantime, just say, hey, you'll do what I say and wait until I say that everybody is done with your car. No, that's not the case anymore because of NewBrakes. It's NUBrakes.com. Check them out today and make an appointment. They're going to come to you and do what they do, which is phenomenal brake work, and that's all they do. They are trained technicians to do nothing but brakes. No upsells, no trying to get you to do this and that while they're also fixing your brakes. And the best thing is they come to you. It's like getting your groceries curbside instead of having to go shop for an hour. All you got to do is get in touch with NewBrakes. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you save 10%. And then you're going to find out exactly what they did for me a couple of weeks ago here at the station. While doing the show, they showed up, and 45 minutes later, they were done with my brakes. It was painless. It was quick. They did phenomenal work. Their prices right online with any other brake shop in town, and you're going to be glad that they did because time is money, and they're going to save you time by the fact that you can sit, do what I did. You can work while they fix the brakes at your office. If they do it at the house, whether it be in the garage or the driveway, you can cut the lawn. You can watch a game. You can drink a beer. You can do whatever you need to do. You're multitasking, and time is money. Check them out today, as I mentioned, and mention ESPN 97.5, and see what myself and many of our other listeners who have gotten in touch with NewBrakes have found out. It's the new wave in how to get your brakes fixed the right way every time. It's NewBrakes.com.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you, and it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Say what?
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. Second half of the program. We'll press the reset button from a news perspective, give you everything we got in terms of what you might have missed. We mentioned in the last segment Carson Wentz out, foot surgery, 5 to 12 weeks based on the rehab after a bone is removed from his foot. Do the Colts look to get Nick Foles? That was a joke of a conversation on the net today. That we can touch on if you wish. Are you boys worried? Tyler's here as well as Patrick Creighton and myself, if you missed it, as Nick is out today. Are you guys worried a little bit about the COVID situation? Because now more and more cases are popping up. Not only is former Texas A&M Aggie Kellen Mond positive, but because of close contact with Kirk Cousins, no jokes, please, only the facts, the Vikings are going to be very quarterback short as they continue to go through training camp. George Godsey, a name that Texans fans might recognize from their past, is definitely positive because he, as the co-offensive coordinator, I guess, of the Dolphins and tight ends coach, tests positive, which means two Dolphins tight ends have also been put on the COVID list as the information continues to spread, Pat.
You know, there were some reports that there are now 78 players that have been put into the COVID list in the NFL so far. One actually just retired. Theoretic just said, all right, I'm done. But 78 players now have gone on to the COVID list, whether they've contracted COVID or whether they are close contacts. And we've seen the stories about in Washington, Ron Rivera, who's, you know, a cancer survivor.
Right, yeah.
You know, begging his players to get vaccinated because he is a higher risk. And there's a lot of players who are like, nah, screw you, coach. You die, you die. I got to believe if that's the kind of attitude that you have, you're not going to be on a team real long.
Right, because we mentioned now the other thing it becomes then, is it the scared straight mentality too? When the league put out this memo and said basically, if you are one of the few that are not vaccinated, and a game has to be postponed, it's on you. And therefore, everyone loses game checks. And you know exactly what the guys are going to do. They're going to point the fingers at the non-vaccinated. And they're going to want a piece of them because that's their livelihood. That's their cash. Maybe they're trying to scare them straight. The other thing that's really kind of concerning about all of this is, whether you go HIPAA law or otherwise, it's still each individual player's choice, whether you like it or not. And so when these players are making these choices, it's their own private choice. The fact that the teams know, but they're making it public. For instance, Matt LaFleur talked to the media after practice today and goes, we know we still have 11 players that are non-vaccinated. I mean, that's also a fine line when you start talking about the numbers and you know, or the Players Association finally stepping up after they might have missed it when they agreed to this memo that said, oh, by the way, players are going to wear wristbands one color if you're vaccinated, the other color if you're not. Basically just screaming to the rest of the locker room and the media watching practices or in the locker going, oh, so you're one of the so-and-so numbers that aren't vaccinated. It's a dicey situation for the league.
Oh, they're going to publicly shame those guys who aren't vaccinated. And I understand why. They don't want COVID breakouts. We've seen how these breakouts have caused problems with the schedule, both in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, in the NHL. We've seen how it has wrecked schedules. The NFL doesn't want to do that. There's way more money in football than there is with everybody else. And, you know, if you have to postpone a game or two in the NFL, maybe they can't make it up. Remember that wacky situation they had last year with the Steelers and the Ravens, and they pushed the game back almost a full week before
finally
they
played on like a Wednesday.
Yeah,
right?
They just kept trying to like give them more and more and more time because you can't necessarily just, hey, our playoff schedule, you know, which starts right after the season, I can't just tack on an extra week or two in between to make up games. And you can't have guys making up games. All right, well, we're going to play on Sunday. Then you guys are going to play on Wednesday. Then you guys are going to play on Sunday again. Like, it's not feasible. If they lose games, those games are lost. And now that could potentially compromise the integrity of the season. What if that game is a – let's say that game is Bills-Dolphins. And their game can't get made up. And both of those teams are 10-5 and – like that game would have
playoff
been
playoff ramifications.
Yeah,
abound in a game that you're going to have a hard time making up. It's a problem.
So the league is, you know, basically they want everybody vaccinated. They don't want to have issues. And these guys who are, yes, technically it's your choice as a person to choose whether you want to get a vaccine. It's their choice as a private league to determine, hey, if you're not vaccinated, this is what you got to deal with. And if you are, this is what you got to deal with. They're giving you every incentive to make the choice they want you to make. If you still choose, I'm not going to get vaccinated, I'm going to do what I want and bleep you, you've got to deal with all those consequences. And now we're seeing guys, months after this memo originally came out in June, and Tom Pelissero had put it all out there. Now we're in August and they're bitching and crying and it's wrong and the Players Association sucks and the league sucks and everybody sucks. No, you knew this was the deal.
Sure.
Just like every other league and every other rule, you knew what the rule was and then you made the conscious decision, I'm going to make sure that I'm healthy and available for myself, for my teammates, for my coaches, or screw you guys, I'll do what I want.
Well, but it's also dicey because of this new variant. And that's why I'm always quick to say, look, everybody's got choices. You choose whichever direction you want to go in. And obviously, with your career involved, and we've seen what happened here locally in the hospitals, in the medical center, in which if you're not vaccinated, they just fired you. But you're cognizant of all of those things. But with this new variant, there's plenty of people that have gotten the vaccine that are still testing positive. There's plenty of people all over the place. It's just that now, from a standpoint of the league being almighty dollar driven, as you mentioned, the first and foremost thing on every player's mind and on the league's mind is, who do we place blame with? How do we scare every player into doing, whether they think it's the right thing or not, the league thing, which they want you to do, and how do they get it done so that they don't have that concern of two potential playoff teams having a game postponed?
And these tactics are no different than the scare and force tactics they do with everything else in the NFL. But realistically, they're trying to protect their product. They're trying to protect their teams. And all the statistics and all the information says, if you're fully vaccinated, you might still get COVID. But it's not going to put you in the ICU. You'll get over it in a few days, and then you're back to playing. We've seen it from Memorial Hermann. We've seen it from UT. We've seen it from various medical institutions all over the country. The people who are in ICU with COVID, all of them, like damn near all of them, unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what does.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think some guys, whether it be they feel invincible, they're professional athletes, or the fact that they just flat out don't believe that it's just it's a farce, but they're not going to do it no matter what the scare tactics are. Because if you would think, that if indeed you felt invincible as a professional athlete, the last thing you'd want is the rest of your locker room coming after your ass because they're worried about losing the game check.
Look what happened to Myles Garrett last year. Myles Garrett was having a monster season, gets COVID. 6 weeks later, he still can't breathe right. He's on the sideline sucking oxygen because the after effects of the virus are still compromising his lungs 6 weeks later. And we're talking about a young guy in peak physical condition, perfectly healthy, and 6 weeks later, he still can't breathe right. You saw the big drop-off in play because he didn't have the wind. Why would you take that risk as a professional athlete? Hey, if I don't have the wind or if it affects my heart, I might not be the same player that I was. I could lose my job. I won't be able to get the same kind of contract. These are like legitimate, like work-related, income-related issues. And like you said, guys just been sent there invincible because to me, if it was I could lose millions of dollars, I'm keeping my money.
I hear you. All right. Lots more to get to, including the NFL. Evidently, Deshaun Watson, whether he's losing his money or not, was in the midst of all these massages looking for certain tough-to-reach spots as part of the masseuse's responsibilities. One in particular is speaking about it. We'll have that next, as well as projected win-loss totals up to the minute for your Houston Texans. Lots more to get to. And then, of course, in the 3 o'clock hour, Kelly Eco, beat writer for the Rockets for the Athletic, will join us as well. Lots more coming up. Plenty of show to get to. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick's out. Patrick Creighton in again. Appreciate my buddy joining us along for the ride. Looks like for the whole week, so we could have Pat and myself and Tyler rolling all the way to Beaumont on Friday as we continue to chop it up on the Press Box. And look, here's the thing. Deshaun's at camp. Does it make a difference in the projected wins and loss totals? I don't think so, and I've said this all along. I don't think it should. And I don't think if you're the Texans, you want it to. Because unfortunately, as painful as it may be for a full calendar year and for another NFL schedule of 17 games, you need to embrace the suck. You need to embrace the suck for one more season. Point being, you have all your picks. You want the best picks at the start of every single round of this draft. If you can unload Deshaun and get even more of them as the biggest asset you have currently on the roster, you do that as well. Because whether management wants to admit it or not, and whether Cal says they're still a championship caliber organization chasing the biggest dream of all, the Super Bowl, or not, they're not getting there anytime soon. So the way you get better quickly is you get the best picks possible. Therefore, you suck for at least one more year. So therefore, with the new win-loss totals, I don't think it's going to surprise anybody, but I don't think anybody should be going, well, it changed because Deshaun could play.
You want me with that L. You need me with that L.
Yes.
Yeah, no, they won four games last year with Deshaun playing like an MVP. And if they could, in a year where offensive holding was legal, they couldn't block. They only got 50 sacks. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't run block. They couldn't stop the run. They were the worst team in the league stopping the run. They gave up over 160 yards on the ground. I mean, Rice doesn't give up 160 yards on the ground per game. The Texans did that last year. They gave up 30 passing touchdowns and had three league low, three interceptions. They were like an all-time bad defense. Do you expect the defense to be any better?
Christian Kirksey and Shaq Lawson, Patrick. They were added. Look at how good they could be.
This is my excited face.
I saw Christian Kirksey play.
Back in the day when you were a young kid growing up?
No. I saw him play for the Green and Gold last year until he got hurt. No one, and I mean no one, was clamoring for him to get back in a Packer uniform before the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I don't expect the Texas defense is going to be any better this year than it was last year. What I do expect is they're going to put up a lot less points because the wide receiver group is not as deep. The quarterback is a monstrous, monstrous drop off. Understand, Deshaun threw for over 4,800 yards last year. Tyrod Taylor has never thrown for 3,100 yards in a season.
And as much as everybody wants to see Davis Mills, I mean, I don't know the reason why. I guess you want to see what you have, but you have plenty of time to figure that out in the fact that, again, you don't want to throw him to the wolves and just watch a guy that maybe he does have some potential. Maybe if you want to believe these NFL draft experts that if he had stayed at Stanford for one more year when he came out, he possibly could have been a first-round pick or a second-round pick. Instead, he was the third-round pick of your team. He's young. You don't need to screw him up by throwing him out there with this roster this year.
You know, I talked with Steve Weish from NFL Network while I was out of camp. And I asked him, I said, so, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of film on Davis Mills. Give me your impressions. What have you seen? And he said, look, he's not the most mobile guy, but he's mobile enough to move around in the pocket, you know, be mobile within the pocket. Good arm, very good at processing, can make all the, you know, can make the throws, all the throws he needs to make, is ahead of where you'd expect a kid his age to be when it comes to reading defenses and being able to check out of things. If you were at camp over the weekend, Tyrod Taylor missed a day of camp for personal reasons, and Davis Mills got a little more reps, and he struggled. And that's to be expected with a rookie quarterback in his first training camp. Does he have talent? A lot of people who are much better at evaluating NFL talent than I am agree he has talent, and maybe he can be a good quarterback. He'll have to develop, but he has the tools, and he has the smarts. And sometimes guys have tools, they don't have smarts. He's got the smarts, but that doesn't mean he's ready to be an NFL quarterback right now.
And again, we've seen what happens even when the most talented of talented players play behind a bad offensive line, play without a lot of good weapons around them so that they can't actually succeed. It can be career-alteringly damaging, right? So you don't want to see that this upcoming season. You want Tyrod Taylor to be your bridge quarterback, if that's the term you want to use, because I think your head coach is similar in terms of the role he's going to play for the next year or two. And then when they're on the uptick, everything else gets evaluated, whether it's your pick or someone else's picks, which you thought you'd have based on a Watson trade happening. If all these 22 other reasons didn't pop up for you to not, you probably would already be thinking whether it's our pick or one of the picks we acquire one way or another, we'll figure out the quarterback as we go. But this is a complete rebuild. And if it is indeed what it is, and now the reality has hit everybody, then you need to get as many picks as possible to get as many young players, quarterback and otherwise, to try and turn this roster around. So it isn't a bunch of journeymen on short-term cheap contracts trying to figure out if a couple guys can stick while you just go through the motions.
And Joel means picks in the draft, not picks on the field. I think Jeff Driskel threw 3 pick sixes in camp today.
Oh, good.
All by all linebackers undercutting short routes.
That's fantastic. Always good positivity coming out of the NRG training camp schedule with the season ticket holders in person today.
Oh, yeah. There were so many of them.
One fan showed up at 10 p.m. last night to make sure he was front and center today. Pretty sure, sir, you would have been there anyway, front and center, no matter who showed up when. 10 p.m. last night could have been, maybe is, a little bit excessive.
In years past, you would see a lineup like that.
Sure.
And the line would be out the parking lot, down the block. Not this year.
No, you had JJ and Deshaun and D-Hop. And optimistically, you had a playoff team.
Our buddy Nate Griffin from Fox 26 was taking video this morning, like 8:30 or so in camps. The practice started at 9:15. And compared to years past, ghost town.
Oh, even for the live shots that all the network station, all the local stations were doing.
Nobody there.
There was the same fans being interviewed on every station because it was the same handful of fans that were the only ones there. That's why the dumbass that showed up last night at 10 p.m. just burnt a whole lot of sleep time that you could have been sawing logs and still could have gotten in the car at 7:45. Probably been okay.
But our friend Debbie the Texan got a lot of TV time, so awesome to see her on
there
TV.
You go. All right, so if I said last year with Deshaun Watson, they were 4-12. Add the extra game. Over, under, 4-13 or 5-12. Where are we going over under 4 wins for your Texans this coming season?
I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under at 3. I don't know that they can win 2 games. I think they're closer to a 0 win team than a 4 win team.
I agree. Tyler, where are you at?
I think I'll be a push. I think they'll win 4.
Okay. I would go with Pat going under before I even saw this number. And I actually think it's a little high. But the new, according to Bleacher Report, latest win-loss total for the Houston Texans is actually not even tied with the Lions anymore. It's the worst record in the NFL, and they are projecting them at 3-14. The Lions are going to be 4-13. The Texans 3-14, which would secure the number one overall pick in the draft and the number one pick in every subsequent round, which is exactly where they should be. And I hope to God that they're right.
I got to look up right now. I'm literally going online right now to see what the odds are on that win total, because if it's not like minus 250 or something really stupid, I'm putting money on the under.
I agree with you. I agree. And I would think that I'd like to see what the odds are for them to go pull the over. Because when you look at the schedule and you look at the roster and you look at all the other crap they're dealing with, but the distractions of Deshaun and everything else, I don't know how anybody conceivably can think, oh, wait, because Carson Wentz is hurt, there's a chance for a win. No, because the rest of the roster for the Colts is pretty damn good. So I don't look at their schedule, aside from the opening game against Jacksonville with a new quarterback fresh out of college that may or may not be ready for primetime yet. You might have a chance to get that game. Other than that, and even when you hit the flip side and hit them the second time around, he'll be better prepared. They'll probably have a better roster still than the Houston Texans. I don't see them winning more than three games.
Under four is minus 135. It's not like great odds, but to me, that's your winner. I don't see them winning four games.
I don't either. So Bleacher Report has them at 3-14, and that's the worst in the NFL, with the Lions second at 4-13 as the current win-loss totals for teams across the league.
All right. Also, just realized I have way more money in my account than I thought I did. Bonus!
Don't tell the family that. Just keep on playing. Keep on playing. All right, you know what we're going to do next? Kelly Eco's here. He's live and in person. We'll have him in the studio. We're going to talk about the Rockets. They had a big draft the other night. They got four 19-year-olds. We'll talk about that, as well as the free agency period that starts tomorrow, with discussions able to start tonight. I'm sure they're already taking place. Kyle Lowry, the big fish that the Miami Heat are trying to clear space for. Lots of things to talk about as we get into a little NBA. We haven't done that yet. Stay tuned for the final hour of the program on a Monday. It's the Press Box ESPN.
For sports is ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.